This is Jay Sekulow, the Nation of Islam, and the United States Congress.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Miss Oma from Somalia. She started talking about the Benjamins. And they trying to make her apologize. I, sweetheart, don't do that. Oh, pardon me for calling you sweetheart, but you do have a sweetheart. Because you sure using it to shake the government up.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Israel and AIPAC pays off senators and congressmen to do their bidding. So you're not lying. So if you're not lying, stop laying down. You were sent there by the people to shake up that corrupt house. Shake it up.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Wish I could have had a camera on Andy Conwell's face when we play that open, because it's horrific what we just heard. This is Minister Farrakhan with his influence now reaching into the halls of the United States Congress, including with Congresswoman Omar, who, by the way, is about to meet and do a fundraising speech with the Council of American Islamic Relations, CARE, an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation case involving funneling terrorism. CARE, of course, says Hezbollah and Hamas are not terrorist groups, even though the United States government, through multiple presidencies, has said Hamas and Hezbollah are, in fact, terrorist organizations, and we know the terror that they inflict. Now, this is going back to what was said last week, but you could tie it into what the president said yesterday about socialism. All these drifts happening at the same time. You got the socialist influence coming in through now Bernie Sanders, who's now a candidate for president of the United States, effective this morning. You have Congresswoman Omar and her anti-Israel, anti-Semitic stance that she's taking. You have Congresswoman Cortez, the Democratic Socialist. You got Congresswoman Tlaib. This is the tacking left of a major political party in the United States. And I don't care if you're a Republican, Democratic, Independent, Green Party, this flirtation with socialism, the flirtation with radicalization within Islam is very dangerous to a constitutional republic. And that may cause some controversy, but I really believe it. And Minister Farrakhan's anti-Semitic tirades, which have been going on for multiple decades, to be embraced by people like Maxine Waters or Congresswoman Omar or others is an outrage. And they should be held account. And the Democratic Party leadership should say, we're not tolerating this and we're not allowed. You can't undo their elections, but you don't have to let them serve on the Foreign Service, Foreign Affairs Committee of the United States House of Representatives.
No, and so Congresswoman Omar, who it came out, in fact, this is in a New York Times article, probably didn't get enough attention because, again, people don't like saying it. I've been saying it throughout. I think she's hiding behind that hijab of hers, and so she could, you know, act like, oh, it's Islamophobic to criticize her. She didn't start wearing a hijab until after the 9/11 attacks.
She was already in the United States.
Just a year before she came to the U.S. as a protest. So it has nothing to do with, I guess, religious faith, because if she was practicing in an Islamic tradition that required a woman to wear a hijab, that would be one thing. If she would have been wearing it at a certain age, she decided to do it to make a statement. This goes in line with her defense of groups like those Somali Americans attempting to join ISIS. So back in 2015, she wrote to a judge saying, go light on a group of six Somalis men who were caught trying to join ISIS. They were crossing the Mexican border. You know, we talked about the southern border not being dangerous, not being utilized for terrorism. There you go. And she said, go lighter, go, be compassionate. In 2013, that horrific mall attack by Al-Shabaab on the Kenyan Mall, she said it was a reaction to the U.S. involvement in other people's affairs. It sounds like, actually, what she says is almost more radical, more embracing more violence than even Farrakhan.
Yeah.
Well, directly.
The idea that Farrakhan is having influence within the United States House of Representatives should send shockwaves through the American electorate. All right, we're taking your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Today, the ACLJ filing comments before the HHS, Health and Human Services. Not too late for you to participate. ACLJ.org for that. If you want to talk to us on air, what do you think about this influence of socialism, of radical Islamization? 1-800-684-3110.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, welcome back. So we've got Louis Farrakhan. I want to play. Can we play one of the sound from that again? Because I like playing the evidence for you. This is Farrakhan praising Congresswoman Omar.
Miss Omar from Somalia. She started talking about the Benjamins. And they trying to make her apologize. I, sweetheart, don't do that. Oh, pardon me for calling you sweetheart, but you do have a sweetheart. Because you sure using it to shake the government up.
So there you have it. So I asked Andy Economo during the break for a reaction. I want our radio audience to hear this, because I think it's important what you said about her coming to the United States.
Well, I mean, I think that she has taken the idea of the United States and contorted it horribly. She says, quote, from the first day we arrived in America, and she came here when she was, I think, 8 or 12 years old or something like that, became a citizen. But she says, from the first day we arrived in America, she concluded it was not the golden land she had heard about. Think about that. We have all been trained and grew up as the sons and grandsons and granddaughters and daughters of immigrants who came to this country, Jay, like yours and mine did in the teens and 20s from Eastern and Central Europe and the Mediterranean, to believe that this is the golden land. This is the place where opportunity abounds and where freedom abounds. And she comes here and says it's not the golden land of opportunity. It is a horrible place, and we elect her to the Congress of the United States? That is shameful.
And the influence of Farrakhan on top of that. Harry, what's your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction is quite similar to Andy's reaction. So if the United States is not the golden land that she anticipated, there is no reason in the world why she should remain in the United States. There are about 160 to 180 other countries in the world, and she could, if she wished, she could move to one of those countries. That's number one. Number two, contrary to the things that Louis Farrakhan has said about Representative Omar, we should not ignore two things. First, Representative Omar's hatred for the state of Israel and her disdain for the Jewish people. And second, we should not ignore her willingness to condemn in vicious terms Jewish American hero Elliot Abrams while simultaneously ignoring Maduro's campaign of violence and death squads in Venezuela. Well,
they act like the Venezuela, they think this Venezuela is like a great experiment. I mean, this is part of the problem.
Absolutely. And so they are quite prepared to ignore those death squads. They are quite prepared to ignore the fact that Maduro, for instance, has starved and continues to starve his own people, and the unmistakable links between Maduro's approach and Stalin's reign of terror in the 1930s, when he starved millions of Russians to death and engaged in a campaign of terror. So it's quite interesting that we have something that is called convergence on the left in terms of antipathy toward the United States, but support for left-wing regimes and support, for instance, for the Green New Deal on one hand and an unwillingness to condemn infanticide on the other.
So the president spoke out yesterday on the issues going on in Venezuela and the socialism issue that is ruined that country. Let's play one of the statements from the president. Then I want to also play coming up a dialogue between Representative Omar and Elliot Abrams that Harry alluded to. But let's hear from the president first.
In Venezuela and across the Western Hemisphere, socialism is dying and liberty, prosperity, and democracy are being reborn.
All right. So there, the president speaks yesterday in Miami to that crowd, dealing with Venezuela, understands exactly what's going on. Socialism is failing. We know that. But yet there's this move to socialism in the United States.
Well, yeah. And Congresswoman Omar tweeted out that a U.S.-backed coup in Venezuela is not a solution to the dire issues they face. Trump's efforts to install a far-right opposition will only incite violence and further destabilize the region. I mean, she's giving the talking points of the dictator's regime there. We must support Mexico, Uruguay, and the Vatican's effort to facilitate a peaceful dialogue. Who is we there? I mean, she's again speaking on behalf of her congressional district. Interesting enough, there's a report now out about that district, which we knew has a serious problem with terrorism. Minnesota's 5th Congressional District, which is where she represents, is the number one terror recruitment center in the United States for foreign jihadist groups.
What a shock.
We're talking not just like 5 or 6, 45 arrests have been made previous to this year, another dozen in 2018, all trying to either join al-Shabaab or ISIS, and al-Shabaab pledged allegiance to ISIS, so even trying to make the distinction right there. It's whether you're going to fight in Somalia for the caliphate or Syria and Iraq for the caliphate, caught crossing the border. And she actively was engaging on behalf of individuals that get arrested for this. So she's
for leniency,
putting forward leniency, show compassion, punish people trying to join the Islamic State. This is inside our own country. It's the people that elected her, and we're allowing these communities to kind of stay on to grow without the U.S. doing anything about inclusion.
I want to play the dialogue that took place between Representative Omar and the special envoy to Venezuela, Elliot Abrams. This is what Harry alluded to, because it's, and of course Elliot Abrams is Jewish, and you'll hear the disdain in Omar's voice. Take a listen to this.
Yes or no? Do you think that massacre was a fabulous achievement that happened under our watch?
That is a ridiculous question, and I
yes or no?
No.
I will take that as a yes.
I am not going to respond to that kind of personal attack, which is not a question.
Yes or no, would you support an armed faction within Venezuela that engages in war crimes, crimes against humanity, or genocide, if you believe they were serving U.S. interest, as you did in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua?
I am not going to respond to that question. I'm sorry. I don't think this entire line of questioning is meant to be real questions, and so I will not reply.
There you go. I think Elliot Abrams handled that exactly correct. However, this shows the level of discourse now, Than, in the United States Senate, one block away from where you're sitting right now.
Yeah, well, first of all, you heard Elliot Abrams respond no, and she says, I will take yes. That is a yes. I mean, it's just
after
completely
she said,
disrespectful.
Yeah, clearly said no. Yeah. She says, I take that as a yes, because she was just reading a script. She didn't even understand the question she was asking.
No,
go ahead.
Let
him finish. Go ahead.
Well, if you're the witness before that committee, I think the right thing to do is to stop answering questions, because clearly they don't want the answers to your question. I would just say two things very quickly. Jay, she immigrated to the greatest country on earth and is now serving in its government, and yet gives comments that suggest that she thinks that Mexico and Uruguay are the golden lands, not the United States of America. That is just crazy. But the second thing, Jay, I'm actually more interested about why she is being enabled by the leadership inside the party, because while we have seen party's move to strip committees of various members, including in this Congress, Jay. She continues to sit on the House Foreign Affairs Committee and has a platform to spew this kind of hatred in one of the most powerful platforms that dictates U.S.-American foreign policy. So Congressman Omar has some answers to give, but the leadership inside the Democrat Party, Jay, I think they've got bigger questions to answer.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. But I think that the real issue is here. You got now Bernie Sanders running as the socialist. I mean, they're having a very they're putting themselves in the situation, Jordan. I mean, clearly.
Yes, and running too. I mean, Bernie Sanders is saying, see, every idea I said that was so radical just a couple of years ago is now being embraced. And he, you know, he won 19 primaries on the Democrat side. I don't know how he'll do this time because I'm not sure he is even caught up to where it's moved since. Since his rhetoric has been embraced.
Now, he'll be too moderate.
Well, yeah, he's just maybe out of touch with all of the activists. And Congressman Omar is right in the middle. You know, I kept wondering, how is she so embracing this Planned Parenthood and pro-abortion agenda, and yet she presents herself as this kind of conservative Muslim? And again, not to get into a theological issue, but it makes more sense when you realize that the hijab she wears is a protest hijab. It's not really related to her faith. And she's more of a radical leftist aligning with these anti-Western elements. And one anti-Western element is radical Islam. It doesn't make sense that these radical leftists would be associated with radical Islamists, but they always have been, whether it's Hamas, whether it's Hezbollah, whether it's the PLO. They've always been kind of working hand in hand since the 1960s and 70s with Western leftist organizations, those who would consider themselves to be socialists. So it's no surprise she's going to speak as the keynote speaker at the Council on American Islamic Relations annual banquet next month. And the two other speakers there, one is Hassan Shibli, who's the CEO for
CARE
Florida.
He's the one who denied that Hamas and Hezbollah were terrorist groups.
And then Hassan Alush, who compared Israel to the Islamic State in April and has described the U.S. military as radical terrorist.
So this is the nature of who they're speaking with. So Andy, as we go into break here, what does that tell you?
I mean, it tells me that we've reached a new low in the United States Congress, that this person to confront Elliot Abrams, who is a distinguished statesman and has served many administrations, with this kind of rhetoric and a prearranged script in which she attacks this man and takes his yes for a no and his no for a yes. This is despicable. This is despicable, Jay.
But what Dan says, though, is so right, though. Where's the leadership on all this? All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want to hear what you have to say about your reaction to all of this. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We're going to be back with your calls and comments. We got a lot of questions coming on Facebook and Periscope. We'll get to those as soon as we come back from the break.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4, battle against it on Capitol Hill, and 5, hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
We had an interesting comment that came in on Facebook. Evelyn said, has the Democratic Party been hijacked by socialist radicals? I asked Harry to respond to that. Let's tell that to our radio audience.
Well, I think in large measure, the Democratic Party leadership has indeed been hijacked. Now, it may be an indication of their own impotence and their own unwillingness to fight back. In other words, to take action against Representative Omar or to take action against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or others. But the Democratic Party has moved further and further to the left, thereby offending mainstream voters who are either Democrat or independent, as well as Republicans. But I also think it's important to keep in mind the whole history of democratic socialism. So it's essentially a form of social Darwinism and perhaps German Romanticism that captivated many people in the world starting in the 19th century, then spread to Russia, spread to China and much of the rest of the world. And now we see the results of that in Venezuela and the destruction of the richest country in South America by socialist socialist policies. And lastly, I would add that socialism for many people is simply a substitute for religion.
Yeah,
and so it's advanced with a religious fervor and certainty that makes no sense.
Yep.
So in other words, it's a vigorous pursuit of an illusion.
I think that's, no, it's very good analysis. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, let's go to John in Minnesota on line one. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, John.
Hi, guys. Hey. Glad to talk to you guys. I just wanted to bring up a question more relating to Omar and abortion that you already referenced. Being from Minnesota, we do a lot of pro-life work here.
Yep.
And the Muslim rate of going and the Somalian rate of especially to some of the abortion clinics is rising. We see that, you know, personally going on. And yet many Muslims claim that they're very pro-life. Some of them are very supportive of our work, yep, actually at the abortion clinics.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how can Omar in any good conscience be advocating for abortion in this
Jordan has a theory about this, and
I don't think she's that religious. I think that the whole is a front, just like care and all that. They're fronts for terrorist groups. I mean, and it's not just me saying that. It's what the U.S. government has alleged, is that they have got there have been these unindicted co-conspirators in terror cases. They have a lot of leadership. I don't know. You could pull the list, Will, of the leadership of care that's in prison or has served long prison sentences for funding terrorism directly. So they'll just trade someone out. Someone gets arrested, actually gets caught up in it, and they just appoint someone next to be radical. It's interesting. I mean, she's a Planned Parenthood. I have it right on my screen, actually, right now. We can put it on the screen for people on Facebook and Periscope, probably. She's a Planned Parenthood-endorsed candidate. So they have up. It's still on their website. Vote Ilhan Omar on November 6th. She'll fight to protect access to comprehensive reproductive health care. Well, with a hijab on. I mean, it doesn't add up. She tweeted out congratulations, Ireland, when they repealed their abortion ban and said it was an important step in assuring women and girls are in the driver's seat, have control over their lives and bodies. Certainly, that would not be something that aligns itself with the ideology of ISIS, but it would align itself with the global leftist movement, Harry. I think that's what it's all about. It's the global left. It is nothing new. It may be surprising for people in what form it takes, but the global left aligning itself with the radical Islamist groups or pro-Palestinian groups has been historically, it's happened over and over again.
Yes. So I think the global left is motivated largely by anti-Western policies. They are motivated to oppose individual liberty, individual freedom. And so in the United States, the globalists have taken to the stage to oppose essentially the U.S. Constitution as correctly interpreted. In other words, to actually look at the text and to realize that we have freedoms and those freedoms are not given to us by the state. So instead, the globalists, the leftists, have basically said freedom comes from government. Government control of virtually every aspect of our lives. And you can see this if you follow the proposals in the Green New Deal. So in other words, the globalists now want to take beef off of the menu. They want to potentially create a new form of transportation between the United States and Europe. So in other words, we can't fly, but we have to take a train, perhaps a solar-powered train to England or to France. The globalists also tend to support radical notions of human autonomy, it connected to abortion, connected to eugenics. And it's important to keep in mind that much of the opposition to Governor Northam in Virginia started and was sparked because of his radical support for essentially infanticide, abortion at the moment of birth. These are all ideas that have percolated through the left for the last two centuries. Some of these ideas are now being proposed by members of Congress. And that's very, very unfortunate. And so the American people need to be very vigilant in opposing those policies.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, she calls out outside forces and interest groups, the pro-Israel groups, AIPAC, oil industry, but doesn't consider Than, like Planned Parenthood, to be part of an interest group as well. And in fact, I mean, there they are endorsing her for public office. I mean, they are there it is on your screen. That is a interest group. That is an abortion industry, and it lobbies, and it's there, and it gets it. Directly endorses candidates for public office, something AIPAC doesn't do. You won't see an AIPAC endorsement of any candidates, but there's the Planned Parenthood endorsement of Ilhan Omar.
Well, I think she's being selective to improve her political opportunity, Jordan. I mean, look, I think so many times in Washington, D.C., we see people pursuing the political benefit of pandering to a base without considering the real consequences of a proposal. And I think Harry will be glad to know that the United States Senate is actually going to vote on the principles inside the Green New Deal and see exactly where all of the senators stand on the idea. Jordan, I think there's a lot to be said about your conclusion that maybe this is partly a political stunt. But I would just say this, even if it is a political stunt on behalf of Congresswoman Omar, there are real consequences for associating with CARE and thereby Hamas. There are real consequences for associating with Louis Farrakhan and associating with Planned Parenthood, receiving their endorsement and putting out these anti-Semitic ideas and philosophies, especially when you serve on the committees of jurisdiction. So, Jordan, I think liberal voters, progressive voters, whatever label a Democrat voter would ascribe unto themselves, Jordan, I think they're going to have to stand up and decide if this is what they want their party to stand for. Because if they allow elected officials like Congressman Omar to say these things and take these actions without being voted out of office, Jordan, this is exactly where their party is going to lead.
All right, folks, we will continue to take your phone calls the second half hour. Give us a call. We've got some phone lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Your thoughts on the new socialism. We'll play more from President Trump, too, in his speech yesterday in Miami, denouncing socialism and its rise in the U.S., the fact that we're even discussing that the U.S. will never be a socialist country is somehow something we can't all unite around and say okay to because of its the policies being embraced. The opposition to a dictatorial regime starving its people, which should be bipartisan in nature, just trying to get get aid and medicine in and food into that country, and yet we can't all unite around that. It is pretty shocking in 2019. Where we've gotten politically. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
Freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So our president, whether it's the State of the Union or speeches around the country, including a speech yesterday in Miami in support of the efforts for the Venezuelan people, calling out the Maduro government for even... Here we have a time where we've got an anti-American leader in Venezuela who denounces the United States, and we've got aid ready to go in. No strings attached, resources, food and medicine. And he has got, you know, 18-wheelers, flatbeds blocking the bridges so that people don't have access to that. And we have politicians in our own country who are aligning themselves with that regime and not the government of the free people of the United States, willing to look past the politics of a country just to get aid to people. A country which, by the way, has no excuse for needing that. They are should be the richest country in South America and one of the richest in the world because of their resources, including oil. And yet, what happens when you start giving away everything for free? Suddenly, the resources are not there. And that's what we've seen in Venezuela, unfortunately. Here's President Trump yesterday in Miami, which has a large community of Venezuelan immigrants, some who are recent and have had to leave because of what happened under Hugo Chavez, and it's gotten even worse under the Maduro government. Take a listen to President Trump yesterday in Miami.
Socialism promises prosperity, but it delivers poverty. Socialism promises unity, but it delivers hatred and it delivers division. Socialism promises a better future, but it always returns to the darkest chapters of the past. That never fails. It always happens. Socialism is a sad and discredited ideology rooted in the total ignorance of history and human nature, which is why socialism eventually must always give rise to tyranny, which it does.
Again, so the president giving this speech as a warning to the U.S., not just a foreign policy speech on Venezuela, but Harry, what's interesting here as well is that this is a warning to our own country. I mean, the fact where our president's having to declare, and it's even debated that we will not be a socialist country. And right now, as of this morning, the leading candidate on the Democrat field is a socialist. Bernie Sanders is the most recognized. He will be the number one in the polls and pretty close to where Joe Biden stands in the polls. And he's not yet made a decision on whether he's running for president. But Bernie Sanders will shoot right to the top.
I think that's very, very possible. And I think if we go back to the president's speech, the one thing that I took from that speech, among others, is the fact that in order to combat socialism, you have to understand history. And we should note that, for instance, in Venezuela, socialists like Maduro are so hungry for power, they appear willing to starve their own people in a move that reminds us of what Stalin did in the 1930s. So socialists, by and large, are hungry for one thing, power and more power. But it's also important to remember our own history. And so if Diana West, who wrote a book called The American Betrayal, is correct, socialists first inserted themselves in the U.S. government during the FDR administration. And so we found, by looking at historical documents, some of which were excavated from the archives of the Soviet Union, that we actually favored the Soviets more than our own troops. And so the sympathy for socialism still lives in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, the question is going to be, as they run for president, how do they manage all of this? Because I think running as a socialist, and Bernie Sanders, look, he'll be a major contender. He's going to be a major contender.
Yeah, he'll be number one in the polls, at least for now, yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to be running. Are they willing to get behind a socialist? I mean, someone who calls himself a socialist. Are they willing to do that? And Dan, I mean, I'm quickly here. What's your reaction? I mean, he's going to be a leader.
He's a leader, and look, on policy, I see other contenders flocking towards his positions. They can call themselves whatever they want, Jay, but if they support these positions, is there that much difference? I'm not so sure.
We're going to find out soon enough. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. So, CARE has a PAC. It's now confirmed, Will, right? Council of American Islamic Relations has a PAC. That's what it's on an FEC form. And that PAC gave $5,000 to Congresswoman Omar.
Yeah, that's right. And she's also received the endorsement of Planned Parenthood. So it's typical radical Islamist, radical leftist, you know, the abortion industry working together at the same time to elect the same person. Because the ideology goes hand in hand. It's,
yep.
Again, they're each doing it for different reasons. But if you look at the makeup of the people that would be eligible to get an Islamic donation at the same time as a Planned Parenthood donation, it's exactly someone like Ilhan Omar. And I think we'll go right to the phones, because I think we have to explain, too, how do you get to this situation? Lori in Indiana is asking that question. Lori, welcome to JSecure Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Lori.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. My question is this. Congresswoman Omar was obviously voted by her constituents in the state of Minnesota.
Yep.
I'm sure that she was running a platform that exposed her radical leftists. So what can we do to try to get her removed if she has so many people backing her up?
She's the elected representative, Than. I mean, the people elected her.
Yeah, you don't want to invalidate the election, but I do think it's fair to tell the truth about who she is and who supports her. I mean, look, Jordan talked about the contributions from CARE, and they have associations with Hamas. Those are the ones that are most troubling to me, Jay. But if you go down the list, she also received donations from America Now, the Sierra Club, People for the American Way, Higher Heights, the Congressional Progressive Caucus, In Citizens United. I could go on. But here's the point, Jay. When she's attacking AIPAC, when she's attacking the Israel presence in Washington, D.C., because, you know, she thinks that they're financially behind candidates, look at the people who are financially behind her. Tell the truth about who she is, what her candidacy stood for, and the positions that she's advocating here in Washington, D.C., then turn it back to her voters. I think the choice is clear for her voters. Certainly, they have the right to cast a vote for who they want. But if you tell the truth about who she is, Jay, I don't think it paints a picture as someone who should be leading this country.
I think that becomes self-evident. The problem is this. It's interesting to me, looking at the body politic here, Andy. You got Bernie Sanders entering the race. He is going to be a major factor.
He is.
Do we have the audio where he says he's a socialist? We do. We'll get it. But, I mean, he's not hiding the fact that he's a socialist.
No, I mean, he says he's going to go around the country and take the values of socialism with him. Justice, community, grassroots politics, town meetings. That's what he says. What is the values in Vermont? I don't believe that to be the case. He is a avowed socialist. He said he was before. He won, I think, what, 19 primaries? Am I correct?
16.
He won 16 primaries. Yep. So, I mean, he is a force in the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is moving to the hard left. There's not a moderate candidate. They've got Omar. They've got Ocasio-Cortez. They've shown what their true colors are, and those colors are not, in my view, red, white, and blue. So.
Okay, so we've also got Harry Hutchinson has written this. It was posted last week to the ACLJ's website. A 5-point plan to combat the radical left's new socialist agenda. Now, we say it's new. We know it's new in a sense that it's now been kind of refurbished and retooled. But, Harry, give me kind of the short overview of what we've got here. I encourage people to pull this up.
Well, first, I think you are absolutely correct, Jay. Socialism is not a new idea. However, under the leadership of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, socialism, and in the face of socialism, it has been refurbished. And the refurbishment is in the form of a so-called Green New Deal, which, if you look at it carefully, is nothing more or less than an authoritarian proposal to demand that the American people submit their individual lives to bureaucrats and experts who live in Washington, D.C. And so we have put together a 5-point proposal to deal with socialism. First, we will continue to expose and explain the socialist nature, for instance, of the Green New Deal. Second, the ACLJ will prepare substantive legal analysis of legislative proposals stemming from this resolution or any other similar radical idea or ideas and plans that are being offered. Third, the ACLJ will engage in an affirmative effort to show how the Green New Deal and other socialist policy proposals would subvert the rule of law and call into question the viability of our constitutional republic. Fourth, the ACLJ will launch an active effort to oppose any legislative attempt to implement these socialist ideas. And fifth and finally, the ACLJ will encourage Congress to debate and vote on the merits of the Green New Deal so that the American people can hold radical political leftists accountable. And so I think one of the steps that I certainly favor is what Mitch McConnell is proposing.
Get the vote. Have them vote on it.
Have everyone vote on the Green New Deal so we know where they stand. Most of the leading candidates for the Democratic nomination for president have announced their support of the Green New Deal. And then they attack people for exposing, if you will, the lunacy of some of these ideas. In other words, does it make any sense to require the American people to take the train from Los Angeles to Hawaii? And I think most Americans would say that is a nonsensical idea, but yet you have college-educated individuals who are in clear and unmistakable support of this idea, which suggests that the lunatics have been released from the asylum.
Yeah, so Bernie Sanders, if you have any question about Bernie Sanders and whether he's a socialist or not, let me just play this for you.
Are you a socialist?
Yes.
Why are you running as an independent?
Well, the same reason that Mrs. Kunin and Mr. Smith are parts of the capitalist economic system. They're not running as capitalists, they're running as Democrats and Republicans. Socialism, to me, means democracy with a small d. I am not affiliated with a political party. I am independent, who happens to be a socialist. I am outraged about the system that we're living in.
Okay, so he's now entered the race and will be, Jordan, your prediction is number one within
number
24
one
hours.
Automatically, just because once the other people running don't have any kind of name ID compared to Bernie Sanders, who gave a serious challenge to Hillary Clinton. So he's got name ID. Whether or not that he stays that position, I doubt it. I think, again, the party has gone past him, just like it's gone way past Nancy Pelosi and these other leaders. But he was certainly at the forefront. His ideas were seen as radical. He tries to say they're not seen as radical. I think they are still seen as radical. And this is the Democrats just handing elections over to at a time where they did pretty well in a midterm election. They've shied away from the policy of kind of finding these.
And they're just going to go hard left.
because that's where the base is, and that's who nominates.
So, Andy, how do you think a socialist does running in the major parties? I mean, it's what's going to happen. It's happened.
I mean, a socialist is good. They're going to get, in my view, 40 to 45% of the vote no matter what. I think that's just going to happen because that's what the Democrats
do. So Bernie Sanders was the nominee for the Democratic Party. He gets 40 to 45%.
I think he gets 40 to 45% of the vote.
That means 45% of the country would be willing to vote for a socialist.
Yes, I think that's the case, Jay. I mean, to me,
I don't doubt what you're saying. It's incredible to me that the country's going to – the guy said, I'm a socialist, and they're going to vote for him.
They are, and they will, because that's what happens routinely. Because why? Because people don't want the ideas of the Constitutional Republic to be promulgated anymore. We have failed in our effort to educate the people with respect to the importance of freedom, individual initiative, individual working to achieve something for yourself and for your family and to create a legacy and an inheritance. We have these ideas that, you know, you're supposed to give somebody a guaranteed income for life and guaranteed health care for life, not have private enterprise, not have private business, do away with private initiative. Why have we done these things? Because we've allowed the socialists to take over, and those of us who believe in, yes, that horrible word, capitalism, have been silenced, except we do have a president who had the courage to say in the State of the Union address, this is not a socialist country. And even with as much as she hated to do it, Schumer and Nancy Pelosi applauded that.
All right, let's hear the president say that.
To those who would try to impose socialism on the United States, we again deliver a very simple message. America will never be a socialist country.
So, Fan, Bernie Sanders is running. Jordan's right. He will be the he may not be the leader overall, but he will be the leader initially here. And if he was the nominee, he gets 40 to 45% of the vote, maybe more. The United States of America, 45% of our population would vote for a socialist.
Yeah, I don't know what that number would be, Jay.
Scary. I don't think it would. Maybe you're right. Well, maybe Andy's right. Go ahead, Dan.
Let me tell you this. If a socialist is the nominee, I don't think they're going to be the president of the United States. So I'd say that number one. But I would say this. Regardless of what that number is, Jay, I am very alarmed by what's happening inside a primary, because I see other candidates that believe they have to become closer to socialist or closer to Bernie Sanders in order to be the nominee. That's very alarming to me. And I would issue a call to people voting inside that primary. Is that really where you want your party to go? You can fix that inside a primary, and honestly, you can probably bolster your candidate for a general election.
It'd be
as well.
Better for the United States, I tell you that. If you didn't, I mean, this whole flirtation with socialism, which is as old as it's been around for a long time, but to get it to this level again is scary. And I think we're just going to call it as we see it, and that's exactly how we see it. All right, we're coming to the last segment of the broadcast. That means we take your questions on any topic. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Those on the line, hold on. We'll get to your calls in a minute. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone.
Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
Back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Last segment, you get to ask us a question on any topic. So our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Shane in California, online 3. Shane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me and allowing me to make my statement slash question.
Okay.
I'm sitting here watching the news daily and researching everything I can on all these people, Alexandria Ocasio, Bernie Sanders, you know, these socialist Democrats.
Yep.
All right. Now, then I'm looking in Venezuela at the socialists and I'm seeing people dying in the streets. They're starving to death. They're being murdered. They're being killed left and right. This is socialism. And, they want to bring this to this country, and there's people behind them wanting to do it. And maybe I'm stupid, maybe I'm blind, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but it seems to me that all these people who are so against capitalism and wanting socialism, the leaders are actually capitalists because they're not the ones starving in the streets. They're not the ones who are losing anything. In fact, they're making money hand over fist.
Now, Harry Hutchins is shaking his head. Go ahead, Harry.
Well, I think your analysis is spot on. In essence, many of the leaders of the so-called socialist movement are really pursuing one thing. They are pursuing power. And so if you look at the last election, the 2016 election, where you had Hillary Clinton claiming that she was a progressive. Well, Hillary Clinton was a wealthy woman. And many of the individuals who pursue socialism, they are actually pursuing two things, wealth, more wealth, and power. And so I think it's important to take the blinders off of our eyes and to notice that the individuals who are in hot pursuit of socialism are in hot pursuit, really, of power and more money. And the Maduro family in Venezuela is a fantastic exhibit of that. They have, as I understand it, billions of dollars squirreled away in banks in France and Britain and in the West. And yet the people of Venezuela are starving for a dream, for an illusion. But this illusion has kept the Maduro family in power following Hugo Chavez's decision essentially to gut the Venezuelan economy.
So Senator Harris was asked about this, and she's running as a Democrat for president of the United States, about the Democratic Socialists. I want to be fair here. And here's what she said when asked the question.
To compete in New Hampshire in the Democratic primary, do you have to move more toward the Democratic Socialist part of the party?
Well, the people of New Hampshire will tell me what's required to compete in New Hampshire, but I will tell you I am not a Democratic Socialist.
Okay, so what do you say, Jordan?
Oh, that's also a term. I mean, that's a specific political party. So she's a registered Democrat. I mean, so she's making a true statement there, but she embraced the policy of Medicare for all and what I think will ultimately sink whatever ambition she has past U.S. Senate is when she said we're going to get rid of private insurance as part of that. Yeah. Others were careful after that to say, well, we can have Medicare for all and still have your private insurance. She did not. And she's had to go back and backtrack on that. So I think that was her, I voted for it before I voted against it moment kind of thing, like John Kerry. Yep. She probably can't go. And I think Bernie Sanders go further than U.S. Senate.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, pretty blue state like California, fine. American people hear that you're going to take my insurance away. That's not what Barack Obama campaigned on with Obamacare. That's not even what some Medicare for All endorsers are saying. They're still saying that they would allow for a private option and a public option. She didn't. And so she kind of got the wrath of that. I think you look at the Elizabeth Warrens, you look at this list, the Cory Booker types, and that's why Bernie Sanders is in. It's a fumbling out of the gate. They can't even get out of the gate. I mean, Amy Klobuchar's opening with a blizzard. Like, put a tent on your event. You know, you're from Minnesota. Predict the weather. It's the winter.
As you said, it was the fourth warmest month year in recorded history, or since we've had weather recordings of weather. And it was. But now they don't call it. It's not global warming anymore. It's climate change.
No, but it's just bad optics. Well, she could have had the event inside with a lot of people in Minnesota.
Kamala Harris had, they all said she had great optics, Andy. She had 20,000 people out there.
But then she started talking.
And I also look at the optics of how many people the president of the United States had when he came to Macon, Georgia to speak. How about 68,000 people?
Yeah. Well,
right, he's still getting those kind of crowds. And I think that's another issue, too.
Do you think the socialism issue is a winning issue for the Republicans since the Democrats are running to it? I think so.
A winning issue for the Republicans? Yes. I think if they nominate a socialist, they will lose in a general election. Primary is not a binary choice. Here's my concern, though, Jay. I mean, Kamala Harris says she's not a Democratic socialist. Well, guess what? She's a co-sponsor of the Green New Deal, so she can say whatever she wants.
True.
She's endorsing those policies. And if you look down the list, Jay, senators who are running for president, co-sponsors of the Green New Deal, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Kirsten Gillibrand, Bernie Sanders, so they can call themselves whatever they'd like. These are the policies they're running on.
So here's what you will hear from the president. You heard this yesterday. Take a listen.
We know that socialism is not about justice. It's not about equality. It's not about lifting up the poor. Socialism is about one thing only: power for the ruling class. And the more power they get, the more they crave. They want to run healthcare, run transportation and finance, run energy, education, run everything. They want the power to decide who wins and who loses, who's up and who's down, what's true and what's false, and even who lives and who dies.
So here's the question I'm asking myself. What Democratic strategist said, let's start focusing on the Democratic socialist ideals, the Green New Party, whatever, the Green New Deal, whatever you want to call it, because we think that's going to be successful in what, losing the 2020 election?
Well, I think many of these individuals have long harbored an ambition to impose democratic socialism on the rest of us. Mm. In other words, they're animated by one particular view that you and I, that the American people are clearly not qualified to run their own lives. And so their view is that if you believe as an individual that you are indeed qualified to run your own life, you are automatically disqualified from running your own life, and you need to turn your life over to the experts. So in other words, those of us that believe that we are qualified are suffering from an illusion, and we need to turn our lives over to experts. And I think the Democratic Party has long been committed to that idea, which I think moves them easily in the direction of democratic socialism.
There are also those times, too, in electoral history you look at where you have a very strong candidate, so the party kind of goes with their, you know, where they are, their heart more than their the strategy of winning. I think that a lot of this is that they don't know how to respond to Donald Trump. So I think he's egged this on in the sense, and I think it's kind of exposed. He's brought about the truth because they can't hold back. And when you see an unrestrained Democrat, yep, it's just a radical liberal at this point, because they've been educated in those universities and schools by the people who are living as close to the socialist dream as possible by being a public university professor, I'd say.
Yeah. What do you think, Andy?
Oh, yeah, that's the socialist dream. That's the utopia. A tenured university professor. You can't touch him even if he commits murder or she commits murder. They're in there for life. Of course you can espouse all the liberal ideas you want. You're a protected species.
So, Fan, in 10 seconds, did I stick with this? Because it seems dangerous.
I just want to hear more from Andy on tenureship. But look, Bernie Sanders had a lot of success with this, Jay, so they might.
We're going to see. All right, folks, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left's socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.